Title of my lesson this morning is, Does What We Believe Really Matter? Does what we believe really matter? The short answer to that question is yes. Thank you very much. Be safe on your way home. But I spent some time writing this, so I want you to stay and listen. Back in the spring of 2020, you remember something happened. COVID-19. I had just returned from Africa on a trip. I think I've told you this before. It was March of 2020. I'd been to Ghana and to Togo. We had had a fantastic trip, planted dozens and dozens of churches, hundreds, maybe thousands of people were baptized into Christ. And came home, I was all fired up. My family and I, we drove to Oklahoma City from northeast Texas. We drove to Oklahoma City, and I spoke at a church where I had been on staff for a number of years, talking about what we were doing. They were very supportive in our work, helping to support me as I made about three trips a year over to East Africa. So I went there, and we spoke, and drove back home, and literally about 2 days later, everything shut down because of COVID. The shutdowns really impacted local churches because, for the most part, we were no longer able to gather in person for worship. We did everything online. Most churches have never rebounded from that. People got in the habit of not coming to church, and they decided that they would no longer come to church. Laura Kelly, she was the governor of Kansas. I think she still is, but she faced criticism for her decision. Didn't mean to do that yet. She faced criticism for her decision to shut down churches in her state, and she defended her stance by saying this: "Religion is really not about the building. It's about the faith. It's about how it feels on the inside. The need to congregate is more important, but not during a pandemic," she said. "I'm not trying to suppress religion. I'm just trying to save Kansans' lives." There's really a whole lot we could say about that statement, but for our purposes this morning, I want to focus on the second thing, that second sentence that she said. It's about the faith. It's about how it feels on the inside. I certainly agree that faith is more important than buildings. Faith is way more important than just a building. But is it true that faith is about how it feels on the inside? Let's turn our attention to the Gospels. In the Gospel of John, the word believe, occurs 98 times in 21 chapters. That's quite a bit. 98 times in the Gospel of John, that word faith appears. In the overwhelming majority of those cases, belief is directed toward a person, Jesus. John 3:16 is probably the most famous of those passages. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Another one is in John 11. Kevin read this to us just a moment ago. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he dies." What is most important to Jesus is that people would believe in him and be saved. We see a similar idea in Matthew's gospel. For example, Jesus asked Peter a critical question. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" If you remember in Matthew 16, Jesus is asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? What's the word on the street? What are people saying about me? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. And others say that you are Elijah, maybe Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. But then Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter jumped in there like he often does. And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, you didn't get that from men. That was not revealed to you by men, but that was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it is Peter's true confession of Jesus' identity, not simply his feelings, but the true confession of who Jesus is, that serves as the bedrock foundation for the church. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the letters of Paul, we discover a consistent emphasis on believing rightly, having the right doctrine, the right belief. One of the best and the simplest examples of this is Romans 10, 9 and 10. This was always a kind of a off-limits passage when I was a kid, because it seemed like lots of other religious groups used this passage to explain how a person becomes a child of God. And so we almost didn't want to touch this. I don't know if that's the way it was where you grew up. But let's just let the Bible speak and let it say what it says. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we say, nuh-uh, you got to do more than that. But let's just let the Bible speak, okay? For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess or profess your faith and are saved. Now, the modern reader might read this and associate heart with feelings, but that would be a mistake. To the ancients, to the Apostle Paul, a person's heart did not primarily represent their feelings, it represented the innermost being of a person. To love God with your heart means to love him with everything you got. Literally, in the Greek, it talks about it's a gut feeling. It's to love God with all your guts. That doesn't make for a very attractive Valentine's Day card, does it? Baby, I love you with all of my guts. That doesn't go over very well, does it? But that's what the ancients would mean. That's what the text would say. When you love God with all of your heart, it's not just a feeling. To believe with your heart means that you believe something that's beyond just the superficial. It means that you have believed with your whole self, with everything. To Paul here, much like Jesus in the Gospels, salvation is tied to what the saved actually believe. It's tied to that. The notion that faith is merely about feelings would have been foreign to Paul. It would have been foreign to him. Now, I think it's important to note that biblical faith in Jesus is not merely about belief. It's not just about belief. The book of James tells us this: faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. The old King James, faith without works is dead. That's what the brother of Jesus said. And the Apostle Paul agrees with that in the Romans passage that we looked at. He reminds us that believing in Jesus is more than just an intellectual exercise. It's way more than that. We believe with our hearts and we believe with our minds. And our beliefs bring about a change in every part of our lives. This idea is also at the core of what Jesus called the greatest commandment. He told us this in Matthew 22. He said, to love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. To love God with everything, every fiber of your being. Our belief really looks a lot like love in a marriage should look. It's comprehensive. It would include affection. It would include trust. It would include faithfulness. It would include loyalty. The Greek word for faith is the word pistis. We would spell it P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. And it encompasses everything that you would find in a loyal relationship between a husband and a wife that would endure year after year, decade after decade. So faith is more than just belief. But we must add that believing is never less than affirming certain truths with our mind, certain truths with our intellect. Because loving God is kind of difficult without any knowledge of who that God is. You got to know something about Him, something about who He is. Despite what the Bible says, it is very fashionable for some folks in our culture to insist that it does not really matter what you believe about God or what you believe about religion. It doesn't really matter. For those folks, religious beliefs are different from other kinds of beliefs. For some reason, they're different, like beliefs about science or mathematics or even history. The assumption is that specific beliefs about God are like opinions. They're like opinions about movies or opinions about music. Everybody has their own preference, but nobody's any closer to the truth than the next guy. It's just all about personal preference or opinion. Think about music. Somebody says, well, I love country music. That's the best music on the planet. It's the best musical genre there is. I love talking about, you know, dirt roads and gravel roads and going fishing and putting the tailgate down on your truck. Country music is the best music around. See, I grew up in Nashville, the home of country music. And growing up, I didn't care for country music very much. I like going fishing, but I didn't like hearing somebody sing about it. But you might love country music. You say, no, Rodney, the best music is the music you like. That music of the 70s, mostly the 70s, late 60s, all through the 70s, a little bit in the early 80s, what you call classic rock. That, you know, when you plug in that guitar and it just makes that clean rock and roll sound, that's the best music on the planet. And we would all say, amen to that. You're exactly right. But no, see, that's a personal preference. One's not better than the other. Others might say, well, I just love rap music. That's the best music on the planet. To which we would all say, no way. I've actually heard a song or two that I like. But those things are all about preference, how you feel about something. Sometimes people compare beliefs about God to taking different paths up a mountain. You may have seen this before. The paths might be different, but the destination is ultimately the same. So if you're trying to reach the top of that mountain, it depends on where you start, right? Depends on where you start, which path you might take. And any path that gets you to the top would be as good as the other one, right? Because that's the goal, is to get to the top of that mountain. One path is as good as the next. And so people say when it comes to God, distinct beliefs don't really matter. Religious beliefs are merely about personal preferences and not about what is objectively true. But let me point out that there is a fundamental problem with the many paths up the mountain illustration. It assumes that God is simply a place. It assumes that God is simply a place. Because we can, of course, use different paths to get to the same place. When you leave church today and you go home, there are several different paths you might take. One might get you there faster, but there are multiple different ways you could drive to get to your house, I'm sure. One might be just as good as the other. But God is not a place. God is a person. God is a person. Remembering how Jesus talks about faith in the Gospel of John, we know that God calls us not to believe in some abstraction of Jesus, but to believe in him as a person. To believe in him as a person. He calls us to believe in him. This sort of faith in Jesus is personal and it's exclusive. This kind of faith might, again, be illustrated by a marriage relationship. What does it mean for me to believe in my wife? What does that mean? Well, my belief in this case would look a lot like trust. It would look a lot like commitment. It would look a lot like love. My belief in my wife is personal, and it is exclusive to her. I don't believe in my wife, and I don't love her well by running around with other women. Such a belief would be adulterous. That's why all over the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, false worship of idols is closely associated with adultery. Because believing in other gods creates a fracture in your relationship to the one true God. You can't do both. There are consequences to assuming that beliefs don't really matter. There are consequences. For example, according to Barna, that's a research group, I'm sure you're familiar with that. According to Barna, almost 50% of Christian millennials say that it is wrong to try and evangelize people of other religions. To evangelize people of other faiths. They think it's wrong to do that. That stat reveals how many folks today who self-identify as Christians do not think specific beliefs matter. They don't really think that what you believe matters. Why else would it be wrong to evangelize people? I think it shows that when people reduce religion to feelings, and when they reduce faith to opinions, the passion for spreading the life-saving truth of the gospel just sort of goes out the window. Whatever you believe is fine. Whatever I believe might be different, but it's okay. It's just whatever you think is right for you. But tragically, I think we find that a faith that is emptied of concrete beliefs soon becomes no faith at all. On the other hand, we know that believing in Jesus and following him is the only path to freedom. John chapter 8 says this, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth of Jesus sets us free from the power of sin and from the lies that masquerade as truth in this world. You see, everything that the world is saying to us is a lie. You know the old saying that when, do you know how you know when the guy is lying? When his lips are moving? Means that, you know, every time the guy speaks, he's telling lies, right? So I know that this guy's lying because he's actually talking. Well, everything that the world says to us is a lie. The things that it says we need, the things that it shines in front of us, the glitter, everything that the world is saying to us is a lie. And the truth about Jesus sets us free from that. It sets us free from the power of sin and from all those lies that the world is pumping our way. What we believe about God matters. It matters for true life, and it matters for salvation. That's what I want us to talk about over the next several weeks. I'm preparing a series of lessons for us to explore what it is that we believe, what it is that we need to believe. Hopefully, none of it will surprise you, but it will reinforce that which you already believe. If not, then maybe we need to change. We're going to talk about what are essential beliefs, what are some things that are necessary for us to believe as children of God, necessary for our salvation. We're going to talk a little bit about maybe there are some things that are important but are not salvation issues, and maybe there are some things that are just opinions. How do we deal with those things as well? We're going to try to explore all that. So what I want you to do is to invite someone to come and to explore this with us, because everything we believe matters. It matters because what we believe decides on how we live, how we act, how we speak. That's determined by what we believe. And so when we're taught something in Scripture that this is what we are to do, and if we don't actually do that, what does that say? We don't actually believe it. We don't actually believe it, because if we believed it, we would live it. Jesus told his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do what I say." So it's sort of a litmus test for all of us, self-included. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to explore over the next several weeks. I may take next week off because that's kind of a special day, Mother's Day. But the next several weeks after that, we're going to be exploring, does what we believe really matter? It does matter. And we're going to talk about some of the things that we need to believe.